Hey, I don't know about you, but sometimes it feels like it's impossible. At least this is how I feel. Sometimes it feels like it's impossible to do the right thing. Whether it's exercise or healthy living or eating right or spending right or saving right or shopping right, sometimes it feels like it is just impossible to actually get it right. It's so hard, I think, to feel like we can get it right because so much of the time what feels right or what is right or what's best seems like it's always changing. You ever feel like this is true for you? What was, you know, true one day, or what was true at one moment, all of a sudden the next moment, it's no longer true, it's no longer the same. A few examples, right? Running. Running is so good for you. Next day, don't run so much, it's bad for your joints, right? Carbs are bad. Eat more red meat. Next thing you hear, no, red meat is bad for your heart. Don't do that. Online shopping, literally God's greatest gift to the modern day family. Next thing you hear, no, shopping locally is really the best way to go. So shop small, like shop local, small business Saturday. Credit cards. Credit cards are evil, but make sure you build up a good credit score, right? Sugar is so bad for you. We can all be in agreement about that. Of course, sugar is so bad for you. So what do? You eat sugar-free. Nope, that's even worse for you. Don't eat sugar-free. Alcohol, so dangerous for you. It's bad for you. It's harmful for your body, but make sure to drink at least one glass of red wine a day. Studies show that you live longer. You can't ever get this stuff right. Eggs are good for you. Wait, no, actually, eggs are bad for you. You guys see this stuff, don't you? Right? And then maybe, you know, if that's not confusing enough, here's the real kicker. What really throws me for a loop every time is this, that every single product, this is what it feels like to me, every single product that adds any bit of pleasure, any benefit, any, you know, value to your life, some study will show that it gives you cancer, right? As soon as you find out, like, hey, this thing is kind of useful, maybe this thing is kind of good. Nope, scientific facet. Nope, it's actually bad for you, so stay away from it, right? You can't win. You guys see this stuff, you read this stuff, right? You can't ever win. This stuff never ends. And I know I'm exaggerating a little bit here, but in many ways, I'm actually not. I'm very serious about the fact that it feels like it's hard to get it right. You try to do the right thing. You try to do the healthy thing. You try to do the ethical thing, but it feels like you just never get it right. Why? Because we get so many mixed messages every day about what is right, or about what's wrong, about what's good for you, about what's bad for you, about, you know, what you should be doing and about what you should not be doing, what you're supposed to do and what you're not supposed to do. And it can be really frustrating, at least for me. It can be really frustrating when you're trying to do the right thing to get so many mixed messages. It can be really hard. It can be hard to take a real step, a real confident step forward when you're always getting so many mixed messages. And if I'm being honest, sometimes it can seem like the Bible is sending mixed messages, like it's contradicting itself, and that can make it hard to determine what step is next to take. Sometimes, if we actually kind of dive in, sometimes it can even seem like when we listen to or we read the words that Jesus spoke, that he taught, sometimes it can even seem like Jesus is sending mixed messages. And today, I want to examine one of those mixed messages, right? Because anytime you're getting a mixed message, whether it's, you know, about what kind of food you're eating, about what you're reading in the Bible, anytime you feel like you're getting mixed messages, it's usually a sign that there's another place for you to step in, right? That there's a chance to look a little deeper to what's actually going on, what's actually behind the scenes. And so this morning, I want to examine this you know, mixed message that Jesus seems to be sending in his most famous Sermon on the Mount, right? We've taken this series, Red Letters, to be looking at the words that Jesus spoke, the words that Jesus taught. And so I want to examine this mixed message that Jesus seems to be sending in this famous sermon of his, because when we get to the bottom of it, when we get to the bottom of this message, I think we actually learn about a very important step that just might be worth taking when it comes to the spiritual lives that we are living. So I want to get a little behind the scenes look. I want to see if we can pull back the curtain a little bit to figure it out, what he's saying and what step might be best for us to take. This whole mixed message deal, this whole mixed message takes place in the Gospel of Matthew, chapters 5 and 6. And so I want us to dive right into the middle of it, because like I said, at the heart of it all, if we really get to the bottom of it, at the heart of it all, I think is something that someone might need to hear today. So here's the potential big, giant mixed message. We find it starting in Matthew chapter 5. Here's message number 1, chapter 5. Jesus is telling his listeners and his followers this, starting in verse 14. He says, "You are the light of the world.
like a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. Then he goes on to say this, talking about light. He says, no one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. And then he says this, in the same way, let your good deeds, some translations say, let your acts of righteousness. He says, let your good deeds shine out for who? For all to see. Let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. He's pleading with his followers here, those who are listening in the crowds. He's pleading with his followers to show up, to step out, to be a light into a dark world. Okay, light is a real important theme throughout the Bible. And the contrast of light and dark is often used to refer to the contrast of good and evil in many ways. And Jesus himself declares at one point that he is the light of the world, that all who would believe in him would no longer live in darkness. So now he's suggesting that the same thing should be true of those who follow him, that they would be a light in a dark world, that they would be a bright light shining in a dark world, that their lives would be an example on full display, he's saying, that their lives would be an example on full display like a city on a hill, he says. Many assume here that he's referring to Jerusalem that sat atop Mount Zion, right? That was the holy city and was known to be the light of the world. So many assume that's what he's referring to. That's the way we should be. Others say, no, he's referring to a more local city that was perched on a hill where he's preaching in Galilee. Either way, his point is clear. There's no hiding a city that is sitting up on top of a hill. It's visible for everybody to see. And he's saying the same should be true of us, that our good deeds, right, that doing the things that God has called us to do, they should be done, they should be visible for everybody to see. Okay, he drives the point home even further by referring then to oil lamps that people use to light their homes at night. Most people in the Palestinian world, they lived in just a one-room house, meaning that if you had an oil lamp, right, you would place it on a lamp stand, and then you could light the entire home. And if you had a light, you would never dream about hiding it. You would never dream about covering any bit of the light that you needed in that home. And so in the same way, again, Jesus is saying, if you're doing good deeds, if you're doing these acts of righteousness, if you're doing good deeds that honor God, don't hide it. Don't cover it up. He's saying, shine bright for all to see. Okay, what a huge challenge this is. Just this little section of the Sermon on the Mount. What a great challenge that is for those of us that call ourselves followers of Jesus to step up, to shine bright, to let your life be an example, to make sure that your good deeds and that your life and that your faith are visible for all to see. Okay, that's message number one that we get here in Matthew chapter 5. Right, good deeds. Let your life, let your faith be visible for all to see. Okay, that's message number one. Flip to chapter 6. This is just 23 verses later. We flip to chapter 6, and then all of a sudden we read this. Watch out, Jesus says. Don't do your good deeds publicly in front of others to be seen by them, for you will lose your reward from your Father in heaven. Anybody confused? Like mixed messages here, right? Chapter 5, you're a city on a hill, right? Do your good deeds for everybody to see. Chapter 6, but when you do these things, don't let people see it. Right? Don't let people know. Don't do it in front of others to be seen by them. He goes on, okay, when you pray, these are all good things that we'll be doing. These are all acts of righteousness. He goes on, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on the street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. And then he talks about fasting, another important part of spiritual life for them. He says, when you fast, don't make it obvious as the hypocrites do, for they try to look miserable and disheveled, right? They walk around like, people ask, well, what's going on? Oh, I'm fasting, right? He's saying, no, don't do it like them, for they try to look miserable and disheveled so people will admire them for their fasting. Anyone getting the mixed messages here? It feels like a big, giant contradiction, right? And if you're confused, I don't blame you, right? Because it's confusing. But like I said before, when the Bible isn't clear, when Jesus' teaching doesn't seem to line up, it usually means there's a chance for us to look behind, look a little closer to figure out what exactly he's getting at, right? So I want to see if we can crack this code. I want to see if we can figure out what he is getting at. I want to see if we can figure out what step it is that we might need to take next. So let's see if we can try to sort this out, okay? When you look real closely, if we kind of stay here in chapter 6 in message number 2, when you look real closely at these last, you know, kind of few words that Jesus keeps, referring to. He keeps referring to hypocrites, okay? So I want to look there at what he's getting at. He says, don't fast like the hypocrites who draw attention to themselves, right? Don't when you pray, don't pray like the hypocrites who make sure that everyone hears and sees their prayers in public. And then he talks about giving to those in need. Jesus calls out hypocrites in this instance too. If we rewind a little bit, we'll see what he says. I'll fill you in here. He says, when you give to someone in need, this is a good thing. When you give to someone in need, don't do it as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogue and in the streets and calling attention to their acts of charity. He says, I tell you, they have received all the reward they will ever get. And this is what he says. But when you give to someone in need, don't even let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Give your gifts in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you. Okay? This is what he's saying. Don't let people see this stuff. And he keeps calling people out as hypocrites. That's the common thread. Right, the common thread in these three deals is hypocrites. That seems to be what Jesus is most concerned about in what I'm calling message number 2 here. Hypocrites. Most often we associate the term hypocrite with, you know, a person who does one thing and then you know says one thing and then does the other thing. And that's true. That's a hypocrite. But the original term for hypocrite and what Jesus is most likely referring to here, the original term for hypocrite, it referred to actors on a Greek stage who used various, who wore masks, actually, to portray, you know, various characters. They put on masks to play different roles. And so Jesus is calling out these people when he's saying, hey, don't be like the hypocrites. He's calling out people as this kind of hypocrite, right? People who perform public acts of righteousness, people who do good deeds as a way to mask their own inner corruption. And so that's what he's referring to when he's calling people these hypocrites. You know, people who kind of play this character out here as a way to just mask what's really going on in here. Okay? They're doing the right thing, but he's saying they're guilty of doing the right thing for the wrong reason. That's his issue here. They're doing the right thing, but they're guilty of doing the right thing for the wrong reason. And here's the problem with that. Here's what he's getting at, that unless they're prompted by the right motives, this kind of spiritual activity he's saying, including all the good stuff, giving to those in need and praying and fasting, he's saying, unless it's prompted by the right motives, all this kind of spiritual activity, there's not really as much spiritual value, really maybe no spiritual value. It gets you kind of no pat on the back from God when you're doing the right things for the wrong reasons. The point, I think, is this, that why we do what we do matters. I mean, I think if we look at kind of message number 2 here and what Jesus is getting at, I think he's trying to make it clear that why we do what we do matters. Simply put, if I could just boil it down, I think simply put, motives matter. When we're doing things, when we're doing good things, motives matter. And when we start to understand that maybe Jesus is getting at motives here, that motives matter, when we start to understand that, we start to get a little clearer picture that maybe we're not actually getting mixed messages here from Jesus, but maybe we're getting a message about mixed motives. When we start to realize that motives matter and that's what he's getting at, we realize, no, maybe we're not getting a mixed messages, but maybe we're getting a really important message about mixed motives. And motives, we'll see, are at the heart of both of these conflicting messages. The point of it all that Jesus is trying to teach people, it's about motives. Motives are at the heart of both of these messages that he's teaching about being seen or not being seen for the things that we do in God's name. On the surface, when we just read it outright, on the surface, it seems like a big, giant contradiction. It says one thing and then it, whoop, completely reverses it, right? Seems like a big, giant contradiction. But when we look closer, we see that the difference in each of these two messages is determined by the disciples' motives, right? The difference in the message that Jesus is speaking is completely determined by the motives that he knows the disciples have for performing these public acts of piety, right? It's two different messages, and Jesus teaches two different messages directly responding to the motives in each case. So what does Jesus know about their motives, right? Motives matter. Motives are at the heart of this whole deal. So what does Jesus know about their motives? Let's rewind. Let's go back to the beginning where this all started. When Jesus starts off This is back to chapter 5, what I'm calling message number 1. When this all starts, Jesus starts off by urging his listeners, his followers, the crowds, to be a light. To let their good deeds be seen by everyone. And actually, what we realize is that he's specifically addressing, in this moment, he's specifically addressing their motivation to hide. Let me explain. These instructions to be a light, these instructions come just after he's described who is really honored in God's kingdom. Right? It's a big list that if you've read through this before, you've grown up in the church, you know about these as the Beatitudes. Okay, this his instructions to be a light. It comes after this huge list of all who are honored in God's kingdom. It's the weak, not the strong. It's the humble, not the proud. It's the meek. It's the mild. It's the merciful. And he says it's those who are persecuted. He says, blessed are those who are persecuted. And here's what he says after that. He said, God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. And then it's right after that that he gives us these instructions. So Jesus knows that this is the spiritual landscape a little bit at that time for the disciples. And I would say that oftentimes much is the same today. And when this is the case, when this is the spiritual climate, right, Jesus knows the temptation is to be afraid to kind of, go public or to, be public with these, acts of righteousness. When this is the spiritual landscape, he knows the temptation is to be afraid to go public, right? When faith or when spirituality or when going to church or whatever, when it's not hip or cool or trendy or popular, when Christianity isn't, cool or popular or trendy, right? It's easier than to just kind of hide this part of your life. When that's not necessarily celebrated out here, I think he's speaking to the temptation to hide. He knows that when it's not cool or trendy, it's easier to just hide this, part of your life, to just, kind of maybe keep it under just a little cover, right? Just kind of keep it on the down low. And so Jesus starts in this instance by saying, no. Step up. Right, he does so in direct response to this natural motivation of theirs to hide. That's what he's getting at. He's saying, hey, blessed are those who are persecuted. If you're feeling like, hey, I'm being mocked and made fun of, when your motivation is to hide, he's saying, no, step up, be a light. On the flip side, okay, when we get to chapter 6, all of a sudden Jesus is warning about, public prayers and about giving and fasting. Now, all of a sudden, we're getting a different message. Right? So now he's really concerned about the private motives for someone's public actions. To what? To be noticed. Right? Blowing trumpets in the synagogue. Right? He's now warning about private motives for public actions. To be noticed, to be honored, to be applauded, to be recognized. Right? Here in message 2, all of a sudden, he's now addressing the motivation to show off. Right? The first time around, he's addressing the motivation to hide, and he's saying, no, hey, come on, step out. And now all of a sudden here, he's addressing the motivation to show off. He's saying, hey, if that's why you're doing the right thing, if that's why you're giving, if that's why you're praying, if that's why you're fasting, just so that people would notice you, just so, people are going, well, hey, look at them, or hey, check that out. He's saying, if that's why you're doing the right thing, to just draw attention to yourself, then whatever you're doing maybe doesn't really matter much anyway. Jesus is not confused. He's not sending mixed messages here, but he's really teaching us a really great lesson about mixed motives. And so if I had to summarize all of this, if I had to, put this into some kind of action step for us, right? Because sometimes when we get mixed messages, we don't exactly know what kind of step to take next. We don't really take any confident step forward. So if I had to summarize all this and put it into some kind of action step, so you knew what this meant for you or so that you knew actually maybe what this meant for the life that you are living, here's what I'd say. I think it comes down to one of two different steps that you and I need to take. Here's how I'd summarize Jesus' message to the people. To show when you're tempted to hide, and hide when you're tempted to show. I think that's the heart of these two kind of messages. Back to back, 23 verses separate them. And it feels like he's saying two different things, but I think the heart of it all is this idea right here, to show when you're tempted to hide and to hide when you're tempted to show. That's what this whole deal is about. See, what I think is so brilliant about Jesus' words, you know, in this message is that they still speak with, I think, with so much truth. I think they still speak with so much precision and accuracy to you and me today. I mean, these words that were spoken 2,000 years ago, I still think that that they highlight our two primary motivators today, to blend in or to show off. I mean, I think that's what's brilliant about these words then is that they still speak so relevantly to us now about our primary motivation to blend in or to show off, to go unnoticed or to live your life out under the spotlight, right? And both, I'm not making an evaluation of either of those, right? Both serve their purpose. Both have their place. We just need to know which is best when. Right? I'm not saying one is right or wrong. We just need to know which one is best and when it's best. And I think our motives, if we could take a hard look at what's driving us, I think our motives are the deciding factor that tell us that when we got to show or when we got to hide, right? Our motives are the deciding factor. And so we pay attention. And we got to show when we're tempted to hide, and we got to hide when we're tempted to show. Here's what I think is true of some of you here this morning. If I just had to kind of speak broadly, here's what I think is true of some of you here this morning. That when it comes to faith, or when it comes to spirituality, or even the fact that you're, you know, like going to church, I think for some of you here today, you probably prefer maybe to keep that on the down low. You don't necessarily need a whole lot of people in your life right now to know what's going on in that department. Yeah, you're a little unsure, right? Maybe you've been going to church now and you're kind of digging it. Maybe it's been good for you. Maybe it's been good for your family, good for your kids. And if you're honest, like, you kind of like being here, right? But there's no way you'd let your buddies know. You're going like, hey, I'm kind of digging this thing, but there's no way to let your buddies know. There's no way you tell one of them to come with you. There's no way your coworkers would let you hear the end of it if you started talking about some of the, the kind of the spiritual parts of your life that have awakened, right? Maybe you're actually taking some real steps in a relationship, with Jesus, taking some real steps toward a stronger relationship with Jesus. But maybe you don't really want to talk about it. Maybe you're not totally ready to talk about it with anyone, to talk about it with your parents or with your siblings or even your spouse or your coworkers. It's like, too much, too weird, maybe it's too awkward. I'm just not going there yet, right? Maybe you're out shopping this week for the clothing drive doing. You're picking up some boots and gloves and your friends see you and they ask, hey, what are you up to? And you're like, oh, just not shopping for a church, right? No, I'm just picking up some stuff here, right? Because maybe you're going, I don't really want to, come clean. In fact, and I'm going to church, right? Maybe there's a neighbor going through a rough deal, it confides in you, and maybe you miss the chance. Maybe you bail on the chance to pray for them when you're in conversation together, when they're in your home or when you're chatting at the end of the driveway. Maybe you miss the chance to pray. I don't know where it is. I mean, I could, make up little scenarios all day long, right? I don't know where you're maybe tempted to hide into the spiritual landscape around you, but I think Jesus' challenge to you then in this moment is to be bold, to step out, right? To be a light. But you post a selfie at church, right? Invite a friend to church, right? Pray for a neighbor when they're at their lowest or when they confide in you or when you have the moment. Step out. Be a light. I think Jesus wants you to know here in this message to the crowds and to us, I think Jesus wants you to know that there is a light in you that can't be hidden. That there is a light inside of you that can't be hidden any longer, right? That the things that you're up to, whatever it is, whatever kind of spiritual parts of your life are coming alive, I think he wants you to know that the things that you're up to are pointing to a light that drives out the darkness. And I'm just going to guess that there is some darkness in the places around you. I'm just going to guess that there's some darkness in maybe the lives of people around you. Darkness that looks a whole lot like fear or worry, or anxiety or loneliness. You know, loneliness of friends who your locker's next to, your classmates sitting next to you. Right, fear that looks a whole lot like depression, darkness that looks a whole lot like depression, darkness that looks a whole lot like addiction or like job loss or financial loss or the loss of a loved one, whatever it is, I think God has put you in some of those places. God has put you in some of those positions to bring light into the darkness. Whatever it is, I think God has put you in those places to bring light into the darkness, to be a light, to shine bright. And if that's you, my encouragement to you today, based on what we hear Jesus saying to us, my encouragement to you is, man, take a courageous step out of hiding. May take some kind of a step out of hiding to stand out somewhere in some way. Pull the cover off the light just a little bit for someone to see somewhere. I think Jesus is saying now is the time to stand out, to let people see that light in you, to be a city on a hill. If that's you, maybe you hear Jesus saying, hey, step out, stand out when you're tempted to stand back. And then on the other end of the spectrum, I think some of you are here today, and if you're honest, hiding never really been a problem for you, right? You never shied away from the spotlight. You never took a selfie that you didn't like. You never told a story where you weren't the main character, right? Some of you are in that boat. And that's not an inherently bad thing. Some people are just kind of wired that way. If I'm honest, I'm a little kind of wired that way. I don't mind being the center of attention. If I'm really being honest, I probably just kind of like it, okay? But here's the thing. If being noticed or if being applauded or if being recognized is the reason that we do the good things that we do, then maybe we've got it all wrong. Maybe we've got it all wrong. And for anyone in that boat, I think Jesus then is saying, okay, maybe now's the time to take a step back. Maybe now's the time to hide when you're mostly tempted to show. Maybe he's saying, you don't need everyone to know about all the good things or about all the right things that you do. You don't need to broadcast, you know, how generous you are. You don't need to snap a selfie every time you're, you know, like doing something good. You snap a selfie every time you're doing something selfless for someone else, right? Selfie and selfless don't necessarily, you know, go in the same sentence together, right? Maybe you have some good things going, but that doesn't always mean that everybody has to know about it. And I understand that's hard sometimes. I really do. I understand that's hard sometimes because if you've got something going in the right direction, and if you've got something good going on, you're thinking, hey, you know, maybe others would benefit. I get that feeling. You're thinking, hey, if I got something going on, maybe others would benefit from knowing how I got here. And maybe they would. And maybe it's something worth sharing with them. But before you do, maybe it's best to figure out why you want to share it with them in the first place. Because doing the right thing for the wrong reason doesn't always help. And if I'm being honest, I mean, I'll just, you know, pull back the cover on my own life here. If I'm just being honest, I have to remind myself of this sometimes. I have to remind myself that doing the right thing for the wrong reason doesn't always help. Here's the thing. My wife, Eric, and I, we're not perfect, not even close. I want to be real clear about that. We are not perfect at all, but we do try our best to live a life. Every day, you know, we do our best to try to live a life that's worthy of being an example to others around us, okay? Not even close to being perfect, but we work real hard to live a life that's worthy of being an example for others around us. And when we manage to get something right, right, when there's something that I'm, you know, I'm thinking like, hey, Erica, you know, we should be proud of this. I find myself wanting other people to know. You ever been there? Right? When we manage to get something right, it's really hard for me. I find myself really wanting other people to know, about the sacrifices we've made, about the hard decisions that we've made. And it's easy to justify, right? If you've got a good thing going on, you're going, hey, why wouldn't I want to let other people in on the secret? You know, why wouldn't I want to let other people know what worked for us? That's what you tell yourself. But if I'm being honest, right, sometimes you've got to kind of look below the surface. If I'm being honest, I'm not always tempted to tell them because I only want what's best for them. I'm tempted to tell them because I want them to know what's true of me. I want them to know. Yeah, I want a congratulations. I want a pat on the back. I want someone to give me an award. I want someone to recognize me for all the good things that I've done, for all the hard, I want people to recognize and applaud and cheer for the things that I'm doing right. And so these red letters, right? We're looking at these words that whoosh, jump off the pages of our Bibles that Jesus spoke. These red letters, they jump out at me. They're piercing for me. I mean, Jesus said, hey, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Don't sound the alarm. You don't got to let everybody know. He's saying even doing good things for the wrong reasons isn't always that great. Right? He's saying just be faithful and keep doing what you got to do, but do it in the privacy of your own heart. Right? Do it in the privacy of your own heart. And others will see what they need to see, right? But do it from the privacy of your own heart for an audience of just one, for what he says, for your heavenly Father who sees what you do. Do it for just an audience of one. And other people will see what they need to see. I once heard it said like this. It's a little statement that made a ton of sense to me, but I once heard it said like this, that it's the things that no one sees that results in the life that everyone wants, right? It's the things that no one sees that results in the life that everyone wants. When it comes to this topic to say, here's what I'd say. I rewrote this, right? When it comes to what it is we're talking about today, I'd say this, that it's the things that no one sees that results in a life that people pay attention to. Right? If that's what you're trying to figure out, like, hey, well, if I got something going on, I want to let people know about it, I'd say this, it's the things that no one sees that results in a life that people pay attention to, right? It's the things that no one sees that you do, right? You just do things, faithfully and humbly and consistently, right? It's those things that nobody sees that ultimately results in a life that the people pay attention to. And I hope that might be an encouragement to someone here today. That the things that you do, in private, the things that you do humbly and faithfully, right? It's not all for nothing, right? And I'm not saying you can't ever do, something, publicly, but it's just about where's the motivation coming from? Are you kind of doing it from the privacy of your heart? I'm not saying that you can't ever do something like that. People will notice, and people will see and notice the things that they need to see and the things that they need to notice in your life. And I think a faithful and a consistent and a humble life well-lived will speak for itself, and I think that God will get the credit. Right, that's the goal, right? That God would get the credit for the things that we do, right? And so I think it's the things that no one sees that results in a life that people pay attention to and in a life where God gets all the credit. Let me close by just saying this. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm not telling you, how to do it. I'm not telling you when to do it. I'm not telling the good things that you should be doing. I'm not trying to, send you out here with instructions about what to do and when and why and how. But what I am saying is, hey, let's make sure that we know why we do the things we do. Let's make sure we know, why we're doing the good things that we do, because our motives matter. In either case, right, our motives matter. And our motives inform what step it might be that we need to take next. And whichever it is, I hope that you and I are ready to take it. Because it could be the step that makes all the difference in the world. Let me pray. God, we give you thanks for this morning. We give you thanks for a time to call a time out and to carve out space and to carve out time for us to focus our hearts and our attention on you. To give you our attention, God, and to give you all our thanks and all our praise, God. We're grateful for the chance to do that here this morning, and we're grateful for your words that jump off the page at us. God, we're grateful for your words here this morning that really do help us to figure out what step it might be that we need to take. And God, I think that this is so true, that these are the two drivers when it comes to our spiritual life. God, we are kind of driven to hide in the spiritual landscape around us, to just kind of blend in, to just not draw any attention to the spiritual activity that's happening in us, God. Or maybe on the flip side, the temptation is to do it all under the bright spotlight. And God, I'm not trying to say that either one is right or wrong. I just hope that you would help us to know. God, it's different for all of us. It's different for every person, and it's different in every situation, God. But I just pray that you would help us to understand what it is that's going on in our hearts. God, that you would help us to understand what it is that drives us, what it is that motivates us to do the things we do, what it is that motivates us to kind of step back or to hide, or maybe what it is that motivates us to stand out and to show off. God, would you just shine a light into our hearts to help us know what it is that drives us every day of our life, God? Would you help us to know when it's really best that we show when we're tempted to hide, or maybe when it's best that we hide when we're really tempted to show. So God, would you guide us? God, would you give us the wisdom? Would you give us the insight to know which step is next? And God, we ask for your help in this, and we give you thanks too, again, for this morning to be here together. And we pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.